Okay, members, we have a long day ahead of us. Let's go ahead and get this thing started. If we could, everybody grab a seat. This is an official Joint Select Committee meeting, and so what I'm going to do is ask for the Administrative Assistant to call the roll.
Senators Margolis, Benequisto, Brannon, Bullard, Dean, Dietert, Diaz de la Portilla, Evers, Flores, Garcia, Gardner, Hayes, Latvala, Lynn, Montford, Negron, Rich, Sachs, Siplin, Sobel, Storms, Thrasher, Chairman Gates. Representatives Adkins, Bernard, Chestnut, Dorworth, Eisnagel, Bresson, Frisch, Holder, Horner, Huckel, Jenny, Jones, Kerr, Legg, Nair, Precourt, Rogers, Roussan, Schenck, Workman, Chairman Weatherford.
Here. I believe we have a quorum. And Mr. Taylor was here. We'll mark you present, Mr. Taylor. Members, thank you so much for being here. Before we get started on the kind of meat and potatoes of this meeting, first of all, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to be here this morning. I know we were up late last night. There's a lot to get achieved today. But there are two people that both myself and Chairman Gates wanted to make sure that we're here and we're a part of this historic day, which is to kind of kick off the joint meetings we will be having across the state. And the first person I want you to hear from is no stranger to this chamber. He's the person who has allowed me to serve as chair of redistricting in the Florida House and has been a tremendous leader for the Florida House and for the state over the last 60 days, and that's Speaker Dean Cannon. Speaker.
Thank you, brother. Let's start again.
Welcome to President Herodopoulos, Chairman Gates, and the other senators on the committee, and obviously to Speaker Designate Weatherford and our House members. Welcome on day 60. Thank you for taking time on what will otherwise promise to be a fairly intense day, but Lord willing, the last day of session. And I know that Chairman Weatherford and Chairman Gates have some information that they want to share with the committees in a moment regarding our summer meetings on redistricting. But I wanted to take the opportunity to reiterate a basic point which we have emphasized and which I know Chair Weatherford is going to emphasize as you begin the public outreach phase of the reapportionment process. And that is this. This process will only be successful if we let the public start the conversation about the communities of interest and the districts and where these lines are ultimately drawn. And your task this summer will be much more about listening than talking, which for those of us in public office is sometimes hard. I'm guilty of that. And it's about understanding the feedback you get in context of the geography and the demography of the areas you go and visit. And then use the wisdom of the public. Engage them, seek their input. They may be reluctant, but draw it out of them because that is very important. And give it your full commitment. This happens once in a decade. It is a special process. We have a constitutional obligation to do this right. And as Chair Weatherford has outlined, and as President Herodopoulos and I have made our task and our charge to you, to make it the most open, transparent, and publicly participatory reapportionment process in Florida's history. And I know you will do that. Be ready for the public meetings. Intend to take a lot of notes and keep a lot of good information so that when we return to Tallahassee for our interim committee meetings, we can incorporate that into our work. And I would ask you also, and I know this is going to be difficult, particularly given the importance of complying with our Constitution and our laws and the Federal Voting Rights Act, I take very seriously your thoughtfulness in putting your political aspirations aside as you make legally appropriate decisions in the upcoming redistricting process. Please remember that doing this right is our task, it's our charge, and it's our constitutional and legal obligation. Thank you very much. I want to introduce someone now without whom we would not be adjourning today, and we would not have gotten as many successful bills passed. That is my good friend, Mike Herodopoulos. President Herodopoulos, hold on. President Herodopoulos, I saw the jump. That's good. Hold. President Herodopoulos has exercised leadership along with me over what is the toughest budget year in modern history. And there's men and women in this chamber who've been here a lot longer than he or I, and he's been here longer than I have. But his friendship, Mr. President, your leadership, your courage in the face of a very brutal session has helped make us in a position now to land the plane. And I just want to say thank you, and I ask you to all join me in welcoming Senate President Mike Herodopoulos.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's always great to be in the Florida House with my friends, and especially my good friend Dean Cannon. I'm glad this is our final morning, and I wasn't sure on Monday night if it would be. So we are grateful to be here as always, and an exciting time for everyone to get home with their friends and family, and most importantly, to report back to the people of Florida that we have a balanced budget with no new taxes and reforming huge programs, which will happen this morning with the work of Senator Negron, Senator Representative Schenck, and others on Medicaid, on pension, and of course, already on education. So it's been, a remarkable session. I'm grateful for the hard work that every member, not only here, but across the Capitol today, has put in. Just this morning, working with Attorney General Bondi, we were able to work out some issues with pill mills, so that was a very good success, and we appreciate it very much. But today is also a special day. We have prided ourselves on the idea of transparency, making this the most open Florida government ever. And there's a few veterans in the room who were actually here back in 2002 as you drew those lines, which today, of course, you occupy. But starting this summer, we're going to be embarking on a new mission, making sure that this is the most open, transparent system ever. 10 years ago, when we last worked on reapportionment, you literally had to have a CD-ROM in order to work the system. Now, it is available online for all Floridians to participate and make sure they have that opportunity. And with the leadership of Chairman Gates and Chairman Weatherford, we'll be traveling across the state of Florida to listen to people before we create the policies that will change the lines in the state of Florida, given the challenges that are before us with Amendments 5 and 6. And so I'm excited today to participate in this endeavor and making sure that we give citizens the direct say, literally the ability to send in their plans so that we can draw the lines that best reflect the communities that we all represent. And so with that, again, I just want to say thank you very much for this opportunity to be here. And let's turn it back over to Chairman Weatherford and proceed to what I think will be a thoughtful, methodical, open, transparent system to make sure that when we draw the lines next year, they'll be done with the best interest of all Floridians in mind. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. President, and thank you for being here this morning. Before I turn it over to my partner, Chairman Gates, there's a few comments I'd like to make. The first is just to reiterate what's been said by the Senate President and the Speaker, that our goal is to make this the most transparent and open process it has ever been, and not just in Florida, but across the country. We want this to be a model for reapportionment and redistricting in the nation, and I think we can do that. And that's the leadership, and that's what we've been given from our presiding officers. In front of every member who's on a redistricting committee, you should have a packet in front of you. That packet basically breaks down the meetings and the hearings that we have planned out thus far. In the very first slide, or the second slide, I should say, and the meetings that will start right here in Tallahassee. That will be the very first meeting that we will then be moving on to Milton, Florida, Fort Walton, and Panama City. Looking at slide three, if you turn it over, you will see a second round of meetings starting in mid-July with meetings in Jacksonville, St. Augustine, Daytona Beach, the Villages, and finally in Gainesville. If you turn to slide four, you will see a general outline for the third, fourth, and fifth weeks of meetings in Central Florida, Southeast Florida, and Southwest Florida. Our staff is currently working with Senate staff to nail down the exact locations of those, but we have dates that I want to be very direct in telling you are tentative. There certainly could be changes in the last two dates that we've set forth, but we wanted to give you as much certainty as we possibly could. But those dates are tentative. We hope that those will be the final dates. You will know that very, very quickly, and we hope to have locations, specific locations, for each and every one of you in the very near future. But that being said, this is going to be a fun process. And as I would tell my House members, if you look to your right and you look to your left and you see the senator sitting next to you, get to know them, because you will be on a long tour with them for the next 4 or 5 months. And it's going to be a good time, but it's a very serious time. And the charge that we have to redraw these seats is very important to the future of the state of Florida. It's going to define what the map is going to look like for our state for the next decade. And we take it very seriously, and I know you do as well. But I'm most excited about the fact that I'm going to get to work with my partner in this process, and that's Chairman Gates. And Chairman Gates has been a personal friend of mine for many years. He's a tremendous leader in the Senate. He takes this process very seriously as well. And I've just enjoyed our friendship growing over the years, Chairman. And I look forward to working with you to make sure that this process is the best it has ever been, not only in Florida, but across the United States of America. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Speaker Designate, and Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, thank you for being with us this morning. I'm privileged to work with Will Weatherford in this process. As he indicated, we've developed a close friendship, one that I think will deepen as we work together in this process. This is a once-in-a-decade responsibility that we take very, very seriously. Florida has been honored and recognized nationally for the accuracy and professionalism of our reapportionment and redistricting process. And this year, as President Herodopoulos and Speaker Cannon has said, we intend to take it a step further. We've already placed on the Internet all of the demographic data gathered by the Bureau of the Census and relevant to our redistricting process. That's on the Internet. And now today, President Herodopoulos has thrown the switch, along with Speaker Cannon, so that 19 million Floridians will also have access to the same software in redistricting that all of us will have access to. That means 19 million Floridians can actually draw maps, can submit their proposals, and can be online, hardwired auditors of what we do. This has never happened before in Florida. This has never happened before in America. And we look forward to this kind of an interactive process. But as the Speaker designate indicated, between June 20th and September 1st, we'll hold a series of 26 public hearings across the state of Florida. Our mission, as Speaker Cannon indicated, is not to talk but to listen. That'll be hard for some of us, especially hard for me, although I'm losing my voice and at least half of the Senate is deeply grateful. But when somebody asks you what you've done on your summer vacation, you will really have a story to tell them because you will have been able to hear the views and meet the faces and understand the concerns of Floridians all over the state. The Speaker-designate and I would urge you to urge your constituents to attend these public hearings. This is one where the losers are the ones who don't show up. The winners are the ones who suit up and share their views, share their concerns. So please, through your emails, through your reports, through your town hall meetings after the session, encourage your constituents to come to these public meetings and to express their concerns and how they believe lines should be drawn to benefit their communities and to be accurate and to reflect the realities of their communities. I would point out to my Senate colleagues that we have broken the Senate Reapportionment Committee into hearing groups, and so there's a handout that all of you have in front of you. You'll see which hearing groups you are a member of, and each senator is being asked to attend two hearings, and also the kickoff hearing in Tallahassee, which will be on the 20th of June. There we hope to invite groups who have expressed an interest in this process to come and give us their plans so that we'll have the opportunity to get the benefit of their wisdom. I also want to thank President Margolis, who is the Senate Vice Chair, who's been through this process before, and her steady hand will help guide us as we move through the process. And Mr. Speaker-designate, that's all the business that the Senate has. I know you're going to break up into hearing groups as well. The main point here is we're holding a joint series of meetings. This is not the Senate Reapportionment Committee or the House Reapportionment Committee. This is the Legislative Reapportionment Committee. We have been directed by our presiding officers to work together. We will work together, and our goal is to bring home a product that all of you and all of Florida can look at and say it has integrity, it has accuracy, and it's effective in accomplishing the Voting Rights Act and carrying out the laws and Constitution of the state of Florida. So thanks, Mr. Speaker D, and I really look forward to spending my summer vacation with you.
I as well. Members, are there any questions? We have a few questions. Representative Chestnut, you're recognized for a question.
Yes, sir. Will these meetings be televised or be on the webcast?
It's a great question. They will be. We are working with the Florida Channel as we speak. Our staffs have been working. We are hoping that they will be able to televise every single one. There will be at least audio for every meeting, but we hope that the Florida Channel will be able to televise every single meeting that we have. It's a good question. Representative Bernard.
Week one, I see that we didn't choose Pensacola. Were there any considerations made to including Pensacola?
The question is about whether or not Pensacola was included. The problem we have is obviously we have more than 24 cities across the state of Florida, and so we are trying to include as many as we possibly can. This is the dates and the locations that we came up with in negotiations with the Senate. If members, if you see a city or you see a location that you feel like should be on this list that is not on this list, I would encourage you to get with the chairs both in the House and in the Senate, and we will work with you on that. We cannot guarantee that we can go everywhere, but we certainly want to be accommodating in that light. I don't know, Mr. Chairman, if you have anything to add to that.
That happens to be Senator Evers in my neck of the woods, and we think it's important to make sure that our rural communities have an opportunity to have hearings in their venues. Milton is fairly close to Pensacola. We hope to broadly publicize this hearing in the Pensacola area. I wish we could have one in Pensacola and in Milton, but we also have to bear in mind that there's a whole series of rural communities across North Florida, and those folks need to have at least some opportunity to have us come to their communities.
Any other questions? Representative Cruz, you're recognized.
My question is, or first my comment, and that is thank you very much for creating meetings that are from 6 to 9 p.m. so that we can include the working families. I did see that there are some meetings that only have morning meetings. Is there a chance that they'll be adding evening meetings to some of those locations?
The reason that we have some mornings and some evenings is because we will sometimes do two meetings in one day. And so it's kind of, if we did every meeting in the evening, we'd spend twice as many days out on the road. And we tried to make this as user-friendly, so to speak, for the membership and the members of the committee, but also for the public. There are some folks who do work at night and would need to come in the mornings. And so it's a balance. But again, if you have suggestions or any input, we'd love to hear from you. And if you have any specific areas that you think we should be having hearings in the evening as opposed to the morning, we'd love to hear that as well. I know we're running very short on time. I think we have 1 minute left. If there's any burning questions, please ask them now. Otherwise, you can get with myself or the senator, and we'll work with you. But thank you very much for being a part of this. We look forward to working with you, Mr. Chairman. And I think that Senator Gates moves, we rise.